Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lin, Susan Shand, and Anne Ball. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, South Koreans are celebrating after movie director Bong Joon-ho and his film Parasite won big at the Academy Awards in Los Angeles. Parasite won the Oscar for Best Picture and three other Academy Awards Sunday night. Its wins made history in both the Hollywood and South Korean film industries. Parasite is the first non-English language film to win Best Picture in the 92-year history of the award ceremony. It also is the first South Korean film ever to earn an Oscar. "Can you believe that Parasite won the Academy Best Picture?" asked South Korea's biggest newspaper, Chuseon Ilbo. It rewrote the Academy's 92-year history, the paper added. South Korean social media were flooded with congratulatory messages. Bong Joon-ho, Parasite, and related film industry news were the top internet search terms throughout Monday. In the days before the awards ceremony, searches had largely been about the outbreak of the coronavirus from China. But concerns about the virus, as well as political and economic problems, seemed to ease Monday as South Koreans celebrated the film's success. President Moon Jae-in and his advisors began a meeting by clapping their hands in celebration. Moon later wrote on Twitter that he is proud of Bong and others involved in the film. The South Korean leader said he was grateful to them for giving courage and pride to our people who are overcoming difficulties. At Yonsei University in Seoul, the university Bong attended, students belonging to a school movie club watched the awards show together. Student Kim Non-hoon told the Associated Press, "It's deeply meaningful for Korean movies, and this will open the path for further development. It's such a great honor. I'm speechless." Another student, Jung Ho-chol, praised Bong for pleasing both movie critics and crowds. He said, "His way of dealing with the underside of Korean society and problems such as rich-poor gaps and the way he expresses those issues are very expressive." Parasite is a dark comedy about a poor South Korean family that makes up false job experiences so they can work for a wealthier family. The wealthy family gives them positions as tutors, housekeepers, and personal drivers. Kim Kyung-hyun is a professor of visual studies at the University of California, Irvine. He told VOA, "Parasite tells a universal story in a way that has made it obviously very successful worldwide." He added, "The film touches on South Korea's over-education syndrome, but also deals with things like climate change and economic inequality." It is unclear what is next for Bong or the rest of the film's cast of actors. But Parasite's success at the Oscars is likely to increase interest in South Korea's movie industry.
United States officials are reporting an increase in Chinese economic espionage cases. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has about 1,000 cases related to suspected Chinese theft of American intellectual property, U.S. officials announced last week. Officials said that they expect those investigations to lead to criminal charges against several people and businesses later this year. The investigations involve all 56 Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, field offices across the country. They involve nearly every industry and part of the U.S. economy, noted FBI Director Christopher Wray. He was speaking at a press conference about the Justice Department's program to fight Chinese economic espionage. They're not just targeting defense sector companies, Wray said at the news conference, adding, they're also targeting research at our universities. The FBI's China-related investigations have grown over the past 20 years and are now at an all-time high, said John Brown. He is the assistant director for the FBI's counterintelligence office. China-related arrests have also increased in recent years. During a recent 12-month period, FBI agents arrested 24 people in China-related cases, U.S. records show. That is 15 more arrests than 5 years earlier. Since October 1, 2019, agents have made 19 more arrests. The Justice Department announced action against China in 2018 after it found increasing evidence of Chinese economic espionage. Since then, the department has brought charges in more than 12 Chinese economic espionage cases. Last month, the department announced criminal charges against a Harvard University professor and two others in the Boston area. Charles Lieber was chairman of Harvard's Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology. He was charged with lying to U.S. officials about his ties to China. Speaking at the recent press conference, federal officials said they think more Chinese economic cases might be coming. Andrew Lelling is the U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts. His office is representing the federal government in the Lieber case. Lelling says he expects to announce additional China cases out of Boston. The city and surrounding area are home to numerous well-known universities and research institutions. Richard Donahue is U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. His office is prosecuting Huawei Technologies for intellectual property theft and violating U.S. sanctions on Iran. Donahue said he expects an increase in Chinese intellectual theft-related cases, not only of individuals, but of companies. Prosecutions of individuals, prosecution of companies, outreach to universities and the technology industry, I think in the long run that will lessen the chance for conflict between the United States and China, Donahue said. Lelling and Donahue sit on the Justice Department's China Initiative Working Group. It was set up to prevent and prosecute thefts of American technology and intellectual property. China denies it is involved in espionage or intellectual property theft. I'm Susan Shand.
United Nations agencies warn that the widespread custom of female genital mutilation comes at a big cost, both in human and economic terms. UN officials are calling for an end to the practice by 2030. Also known as FGM, female genital mutilation is the act of cutting and/or removing part or all of a female's external genitalia. It can also include other injuries to the female genitals. FGM is mostly carried out on girls from when they are very young to the age of 15. The World Health Organization, WHO, says around 200 million girls and women alive today are suffering from the physical and psychological effects of FGM. Most live in one of 30 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, where FGM is often performed.
Within West Africa, FGM is extremely common in some countries. In Guinea, it is done to 97% of females. Gambia, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Sierra Leone all have rates above 75%. It is extremely uncommon in Niger. There, it is done on only 2% of females. FGM has no medical benefits, only damaging results. That is what Monica Farrow told VOA. Farrow is the director of the UN Population Fund's office in Geneva, Switzerland. She told VOA that women and girls who have undergone the practice suffer long-term physical and psychological harm. It often leads to bleeding, to infections, to infertility, and other problems that last a lifetime. These can include urine infections, problems while giving birth, and sometimes it even leads to death, Farrow said.
Even with these risks, the practice has continued largely in the name of culture and tradition. Some communities believe FGM helps prevent sex before marriage. They also believe it helps make sure a woman will not cheat on her husband because it reduces her desire for sex. In addition to the physical and emotional price paid by the girls and women, there is also an economic cost. A new report by WHO estimates that medical care necessitated by FGM costs about $1.4 billion a year. For some countries, the costs are nearly 10% of total healthcare spending every year. In a few nations, WHO officials say, the number is as high as 30%. Farrow said an estimated 61 million girls will be cut between now and 2030 in countries where FGM is widespread. But she noted progress in the areas and countries where UN agencies are working to end the practice. I'm Anne Ball.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The years after World War I were an important turning point in the making of the American nation. The country turned away from the problems of Europe. Now, it would deal with problems of its own. Kay Gallant and Morris Joyce tell about the many changes in America during the early 1920s.
There was a presidential election in America in 1920. President Woodrow Wilson was not a candidate. He had suffered a stroke and was too sick. The two major candidates were Democrat James Cox and Republican Warren Harding. Voters had a clear choice between the two candidates. Cox supported the ideas of President Wilson. He believed the United States should take an active part in world affairs. Harding opposed the idea of internationalism. He believed the United States should worry only about events within its own borders. Warren Harding won the election. By their votes, Americans made clear they were tired of sacrificing lives and money to solve other people's problems. They just wanted to live their own lives and make their own country a better place.
This was a great change in the nation's thinking. For 20 years since the beginning of the century, the United States had become more involved in international events. Young Americans had grown up with presidents like Woodrow Wilson and Theodore Roosevelt. Both Wilson and Roosevelt had active foreign policies. Both helped start the nation on the road to becoming a major world power. Then came World War I. It was like a sharp needle that burst a balloon. The United States and the Allies won the war against Germany and the Central Powers. But thousands of American troops had died in the European conflict, and many months were taken up by the bitter debate over the peace treaty and the League of Nations. Most Americans did not want to hear about Europe and international peace organizations anymore.
Instead, Americans became more concerned with material things. During World War I, they had lived under many kinds of restrictions. The federal government had controlled railroads, shipping, and industrial production. At the end of the war, these controls were lifted. Industries that had been making war supplies began making products for a peacetime economy. Wages for most workers in the United States were higher than ever at the beginning of the 1920s. Men and women had enough money to enjoy life more than they had in the past.
Technology made it possible for millions of people to improve their lives. It also caused great changes in American society. Two of the most important new technologies were automobiles and radio. In the early years of the 20th century, automobiles were very costly. Each one was built separately by a small team of skilled workers. Most Americans did not have the money to own an automobile. Then Henry Ford decided to make cars everyone could buy. He built them on an assembly line. Cars were put together, or assembled, as they moved slowly through the factory. Each worker did just one thing to the car before it moved on to the next worker. In this way, the Ford Motor Company could build cars more quickly and easily, and it could sell them for much less money.
Before long, there were cars everywhere. All these cars created a need for better roads. Outside cities, most roads were made just of dirt. They were chokingly dusty in dry weather and impassably muddy in the rain. They were rough and full of holes. Few bridges connected roads across rivers and streams. America's new drivers demanded that these problems be fixed. So local and state governments began building and improving roads as they had never done before. As new roads were built, many new businesses opened along them. There were gasoline stations and auto repair shops, of course, but soon there were eating places and hotels where travelers could eat and sleep. In the 1920s, the United States was becoming a nation of car lovers.
Cars changed more than the way Americans traveled. They changed the way Americans lived. They removed some of the limitations of living conditions. For example, families with cars no longer had to live in noisy, crowded cities. They could live in suburbs, the wide open areas outside cities. They could use their car to drive to work in the city. Businesses moved too. No longer did they have to be close to railroad lines. With new cars and trucks, they could transport their goods where they wanted, when they wanted. They were no longer limited by train times. Cars also made life on farms less lonely. It became much easier for farm families to go to town on business or to visit friends.
Cars helped Americans learn more about their nation. In the 1920s, people could drive all across the land for not much money. Places that used to be days apart now seemed suddenly closer. Families that normally stayed home on weekends and holidays began to explore the country. They drove to the seashores and lakeshores, to the mountains and forests, to places of historical importance or natural beauty.
Not all the changes linked to the car were good, of course. Automobile accidents became more common and deadly. Other forms of transportation, such as railroads, began to suffer from the competition. Some railroads had to close down. Horses and wagons, once the most common form of transportation, began to disappear from city streets. There were not enough cars in the 1920s to cause severe air pollution, but the air was becoming less pure every year, and the roads were becoming more crowded and noisy.
The automobile greatly changed America's transportation. Radio greatly changed its communication. The first radio station opened in the state of Pennsylvania in 1920. Within 10 years, there were hundreds of others. There were more than 13 million radio receivers. Most of the radio stations were owned by large broadcasting networks. These networks were able to broadcast the same program to stations all over the country.
Most programs were simple and entertaining. There were radio plays, comedy shows, and music programs. But there also were news reports and political events. Millions of people who never read newspapers now heard the news on radio. Citizens everywhere could hear the president's voice. Like the automobile, radio helped bring Americans together. They were able to share many of the same events and experiences.
Radio also was a great help to companies. Businesses could buy time on radio programs for advertisements. In these ads, they told listeners about their products. They urged them to buy the products, cars, electric refrigerators, foods, medicines. In this way, companies quickly and easily created a nationwide demand for their goods. Automobiles and radios were not the only new technologies to change American life in the days after World War I. Still, one more invention would have a great effect on how Americans spent their time and money. That was the motion picture.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.